needed a gin and tonic just to contemplate it, and a second one to decide that explaining would be a bad idea. As for Guam, my opinion was that it was probably a fine place, and the weather was undoubtedly better than in Galicia. I developed the habit of smiling down into my gin and tonic and saying that I had never been to Guam, and so wouldn't presume to know more than the people on the ground there. This had the advantage of being true, and also generally made at least one other person in the conversation look like an absolute tit. And if I passed our days at sea having gin and tonics and no opinions about Guam, that meant I was definitely not worrying about the telegram that I had been sent by my American friend, Dr. James Denton. Begging you to come with all haste. Stop. Need your help. Stop. Bring Angus. Stop. If it had been anyone other than Denton, I would have sent back another telegram to the effect of, "What the devil is the problem? Stop." But Denton and I had faced down horrors together 2 years prior, and I knew that he had a cool head and was, if anything, far more skeptical than I was. If he thought he needed my help, then I would damn well come and help him. Also, he included 2 tickets to Boston. Also, my sister was going to have another child, and while I think babies are fine in the abstract, my sister has a regrettable belief that if I just hold one long enough, I will come to enjoy it. I will not. I have proven this to my own satisfaction, but apparently not to hers. And America seemed like an excellent alternative. Land of opportunity, they say, which presumably includes the opportunity not to hold a baby. I say this all very flippantly, but I'll be honest, I didn't much care for the telegram. Not that I objected to Denton asking for my help. Far from it. There are some experiences that bond people together more closely than blood, and the nightmare we'd faced had been one of them. If he needed my help, I'd come. No, what bothered me was the idea that whatever trouble Denton was in, it was the sort of trouble that required Angus and me to cross an ocean. As if, given the entire North American continent to draw from, Denton needed the 2 people he knew with experience in nightmares. I tried not to dwell on it, and instead lost myself in listening to people be wrong about Guam. It almost worked. Our ship steamed into Boston on a brisk October morning. The sun was shining, the water was relatively calm for the season, and the air smelled only slightly of brine and dead fish. Our crossing had been uneventful, our docking equally so. The jaws of the wharf closed over our ship and held it fast. The streets of Boston looked like the streets of any other port town I've encountered. It could have been London or Hamburg. Make half the people darker and half the walls lighter, and you could be in Barcelona or Istanbul. Skin and stone changes, but not much else does. There are always children pelting around, and harried-looking men moving cargo into wagons, and a few extremely worried men who do not have cargo and don't know why, and 12 horses looking bored, and 1 horse looking like it is about to go on a rampage, and 2 of lost passengers huddled together like a clutch of baby chicks. Inevitably, a vendor is trying to sell something to 1 or more of these groups, except possibly the horses. The familiarity was oddly comforting. In general, I rather like Americans. They're usually so terribly earnest. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a bit nervous. 1 American can really fill a room. I assume it only takes 100 or so to really fill a country. A man threaded his way through this mess,